Well, welcome to your announcements. First up, we got a little date change happening on our retirees lunch.
Yeah, so we're not gonna mention what the original date was because that could get confusing.
Forget it.
Retirees and Friends, February 28th, that's a Tuesday. CPC is hosting.
Nice.
Those of you from Wilkinson Road, they'd love to have you come out and join them. So February 28th, Retirees and Friends, please hit the website and sign up. You don't want to do the website, you can call the office and we'll make sure you get signed up as well. We just need to know you're coming.
You betcha. And then next, it's tax season.
It is, yes, for all you accountants out there. This must be so much fun. Anyhow, just want to thank you so much for your giving. By getting a tax receipt, that means you've blessed us. You've helped us in our ministry. So thanks for that in this previous year. Tax receipts will be coming late February, early March. If you asked for an emailed receipt, you'll likely get it before the end of February. Otherwise, we'll have the paper copies available for pickup Sunday, March 5th.
Awesome. And if you have any questions about that process or you didn't get one, you want one, I don't know, let us know. You can contact us at office@sanishbaptist.org and we'll get you all sorted.
Awesome.
Awesome. That's everything we've got for you today, so we'll see you next time.
Well, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to see your smiling faces or your viewership on the YouTube channel, wherever you're tuning in from. But thanks for joining us. We're grateful to be able to worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. We've got a great service in store. I don't know if you guys saw the huge banners when you came in, but Kwanos is here. Scott Bailey's going to be up here in a few moments. It's going to be a good Sunday. But just as we get started, I want to start with this prayer that's based on a passage in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. And it says this: there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And just has this prayer. It says, take this patchwork collection of persons and quilt together your church. Like old pieces of cloth, take these words and songs and prayers, take our thoughts and inner hungers, and join them all together into a new and living fabric, the purpose of which is to cover and color your world with grace and love. In Christ we pray this. Amen. So let's start off by just celebrating our God. Let's sing Great Things. You conquer the You free every captive and break every chain, oh God.
Great things, yes? Amen. Well, you guys can take a seat. And like I said, we are so excited to have Kwanos here with us. We are in a series right now where we're looking at We the Church. What does it mean for us to be the church? And sometimes we can think that that is just this gathering. And yet we're so grateful to be able to partner with organizations that go beyond the church building and really just be the church together. So Kwanos, Scott, great to have you here. Take it away.
All right, let's check it out. And it's coming in just over 4 months. We cannot wait. Now, my wife, Julie, and I, we were married 30 years ago. It was a very exciting time starting out together. And people give you things, and we got to buy lots of stuff. And once we had our basics, then we got to buy a video game system. And there's a very exciting time back then in the world of video games because Nintendo had just released the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. So we bought game cartridges for Star Wars, I had NHL hockey, but of course the big purchase was Super Mario World. And I got pretty good, pretty quick. I thought I had it all figured out. And then one day I made a big discovery. I found these hidden keys. And I learned that these keys could open doors to brand new worlds. And then I realized that it was not all it appeared to be. I realized this Mario World was not all that I thought it was. And that's what our summer is going to be all about. Playing Mario World? No, not playing Mario World. Helping children and youth learn that this world is not all there is. We're going to help them discover that there is something far more to life, something amazing, something unbelievable. We're calling it Next Level. And God does not want anyone to miss out. God didn't hide clues like these keys in Mario World. Instead, he put billions of stars up in the sky to point towards him. He did not want to keep it a secret. So he told all his followers to tell everyone that they know. He made sure a book got written. It became the bestseller of all time, of the entire world. But we know that our world seems to specialize in keeping this news hidden, in having people think that this is all that there is, that life is all about living for myself, that there is no God. Well, we know what this leads to. In the last 5 years at Camp Kwanos, we've welcomed about 15,000 children and youth. And we have seen the impact of that life up close and personal. We've heard their stories, stories of brokenness, confusion, stories of broken relationships, broken families, broken dreams, stories of abuse, addiction, loss, pornography, bullying, kids who feel lost, trying to hold on, trying to figure it all out. And this is why we have camp. It's a place that kids can come and discover that what life is really supposed to be all about. It happens at camp in a very special way. How does it happen at camp? Something happens when kids come out of the city and they live in the midst of God's beautiful creation. It points them towards him. When they experience incredible adventure and fun, it points them towards him. When they are accepted for who they are by people who really care, it points them towards him. When they discover truths from God's word in a language that they can understand, it points them towards him. And they don't just hear about love, they get to experience it firsthand for themselves. And it points them towards him. Camp is such a special place where people can meet with their creator in the midst of his creation. The experience that they have at camp is so different than everyday life. Campers discover life with Jesus, that they matter, that they were created for a purpose, that Jesus gave his life for them, that they are loved. And Jesus does not want anyone to miss it. This is why we're doing all we can to make sure. Do you want to join in? Let me tell you some things that happened at camp this summer. There's going to be kids coming from all kinds of backgrounds, like this one last summer. The counselor shared, one of my girls is from a very difficult home situation. Yesterday she said to me, can you take me to your home so I don't have to go back to my home? She's been having such a good week. Yesterday she accepted Jesus. She said, I needed something in my life, and now I see what it is. This summer, amazing discoveries are going to be made, like these two from last summer. A counselor said, at the end of our week, one of my campers said to me, I think heaven is like this. I think this is what heaven will be like. Then the counselor said, I thought, wait till she gets to see what regular heaven will really be like. Camp is not heaven. But the truth is that the imprints of heaven are all over. They're all over. And they help kids gain a vision for what life was intended to be like. Staff member said this, there is a young boy here whose dad passed away 6 months ago. He gets shuffled between two homes. One of these homes is not safe for him at all. He is so excited to be here. There are great hopes for him this week that he will discover truth and begin a new life with Jesus. This summer, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds that are going to begin new life with him, like these ones from last summer. Counselor shared,
5 of my campers accepted Jesus, and they shared at the fireside. 2 were atheists. 1 believed in Greek gods. 1 had no idea of anything. Now they all know that Jesus loves them. They went home with Bibles with verses highlighted and seeds in their hearts. About 60% of our kids that come have no idea who God is. They don't go to church. They're not in church on Sunday morning today. About 250 kids like that every week of about the 400 or 420 kids that come each week. Another counselor shared, last night at the fireside, one of my girls burst into tears. Some things in the talk reminded her of some very hard things that have happened in her life. She had flashbacks. She's been called so many horrible names. No one, especially a 10 or 11-year-old, should ever be called those names. She accepted Jesus last night. Another counselor shared, my camper said, I'm an atheist. He told me at the start of the week he wanted nothing to do with God. At the end of the week, he said, everything's different here. When I came, I was on one path, and now I'm on a completely different path. And we do this together with you. You guys, Saanich Baptist, are one of the owners of Camp Quantos, and together we are seeking to reach children and youth and help them begin a new path with Jesus. Last summer was amazing. There was no COVID restrictions last summer. We were able to welcome 1,600 more kids than we had in summer 2021. It took a massive effort to build to reset the camp, to build to restore the camp after 2 years of COVID. It took people giving financially. It took people coming back to join the staff team. It took every single person to make it possible. Last year, we welcomed about 3,800 kids. It took younger staff, older staff, people from churches sent teams. It took everybody to make it happen. You know what happened? It was amazing. It was amazing last summer. There was almost 1,000 decisions that were recorded. Of those, 600 were first-time decisions at camp. In the recent Canada Census, and maybe you've already heard this many times here, but I thought I would share it. In the recent Canada Census, one of the questions was, do you identify as a Christian and what religion? Of all the towns in Canada, what was the lowest town that with the percentage of people identify as Christian? Well, it's Nanaimo. What were the 3 lowest areas in all of Canada? Nanaimo, what else? Victoria, and what else? Vancouver. Where's Camp Quantos located? Right in the middle of that triangle. It's where all of our kids come from. Over half from Vancouver, up and down the island, especially Victoria and Nanaimo. We are working together to share God's love with all the children and youth that come from that triangle, a triangle possibly in all of North America where there's the least number of children and youth who know who God is. We do this together. We don't want anyone to miss out. We don't want anyone to miss out and think that this world, this is all that there is. We want them to discover and begin life at the next level. And this only way it's possible is together. So it's one of the reasons I'm here today is to invite you to join in. For example, this summer on staff, there's all kinds of opportunities to serve. For maybe it's in the kitchen helpers, dishwashers, activity leaders, cabin counselors, builders, drivers, nurses, doctors, builders, any role probably we needed at camp. You could come for a week or you can come for the entire summer. Maybe you want to join our prayer team. Maybe you can come up early and help get the camp ready for summer. Maybe you can invite kids, pick up a brochure and invite someone to come to camp. Maybe if you're a high school student, you can join one of our leadership programs starting at grade 9. Maybe you want to come as a camper, or maybe you want to bring your family to the family retreat, family work weekend, or the open house on June 10th. It's only an hour that direction up the island. We'll give you lunch and dinner. We'd love to have you be there. Maybe you want to help a family who isn't able to afford to send their child to camp. You could give to our campership fund, or maybe you could give to a project fund we have at camp. This summer, we're going to invite children and youth to dare to dream that this world is not all there is, that this world is not the way life is intended to be, that there's a whole other world and life that they can start living right away. And the best news, it's not a dream. We are going to invite children and youth to step right in and live it for real. I'd love to have you guys involved somehow this summer. Thanks so much for letting me be here with you today. I look forward to talking to you after. Thanks a lot.
Good morning. Before we get into everything, let me just pray for Kuanos, for this extension of our church that is able to minister to kids in just an incredible way. So, yeah, let's just pray. Oh, God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for its diversity and for the way that you have designed each of us, that you have called each of us to go to the ends of the earth, to go to the darkest of places, which is, man, right where we are in a lot of ways, but to reveal you to the world. God, I thank you for what Kuanos is able to do for these stories, and I know we just got just a taste of what is happening there, but thank you for the lives that are being touched each week during these summer camps, for the many kids who show up for the fun in the games and yet encounter something that transforms their lives. And so, God, I just pray for summer 2023 that you will be bringing the exact children and youth that need to be there, that you will be bringing the exact leaders, cabin leaders, the exact staff, everything that needs to be in place so that children and youth can encounter you, that they can hear the truth spoken in a way that they understand, that touches their heart. And that whether this is the first time, whether this is the 100th time, whether they come from a family that loves you and is serving you, or they come from a family where there is hardship, may the truth that Jesus came for them just be so real. And so we know that it is your spirit that is going to be working. It is only because of you that transformation can happen. So, yeah, we just give this summer to you, trusting that you love these kids and that you have great plans and purposes for them. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, you are... You're still here. Yes, you guys can head to the back. Shyla's there and would love to take you upstairs. You'll have fun. There's no like zip lines or anything like that upstairs, but it will be awesome, I promise. Awesome. Well, it has been a long time since I've been able to be here with you. I promise that I'm still around. I've been up at our Centennial Park campus for the month of January, and I guess last week as well, as we were going through that series, just practicing some of those spiritual rhythms together. But I miss you guys when I'm not here. So it is good to see your faces. For those of you that I can't see your faces, it is still good to be with you. But last week, Lindsay started a new sermon series called We the Church. And so for the next few months, we are just going to be exploring that, the church, but the church as it was intended to be, as the people, the gathering of God's people. And this is a beautiful, sometimes very challenging, it's a chaotic expression of the kingdom of God. And so we want to explore what that is, what we're called to be as the church, what God's purposes are for us. And today I wanted to start in possibly an unusual section of the Bible when we're talking about the church. But I want to go all the way back to the very, very beginning. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. You know that in Genesis chapter 1, God creates all things. And so he creates light, he creates sun, the moon, the stars. He divides the water, he creates dry land, he creates plants and animals. And then in verse 26 of Genesis 1, we read that God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So what does that have to do with the church? There's a few pieces that I want us to just focus on, and hopefully you'll start to imagine how this relates to us today, the church. The first thing is, we read that humanity, mankind, was created in the image of God. We are distinct from the rest of creation because we were marked, we were created in the image of God. And the question is, what does that statement mean? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? And I just want to bring it down to like the most simple understanding, which is like, what is an image? We know that word, that's a familiar word, but an image gives us a physical representation of something, right? You take a picture, you have an image, and looking at that image, you will understand what the original is like. Reading this passage, it brought me back like flashbacks of in junior high, my art teacher made us do all these self-portraits. And I remember one of them, it was just like supposed to be shades of black, but we had to make our own black. And a bunch of junior hires trying to mix their own black meant that we were all like purple or green. We couldn't get like the perfect black. And so you would walk, all these awkward junior hires, walking through the hallways, looking at pictures of themselves that they created. Like, you're already self-conscious, and that's just the worst. But you could, if you looked closely at these images, you would start to see, like, maybe distinguishing features, a freckle there, like the curly hair, whatever it was. And you'd go, oh, that image points to the creator of it. And that's what it means to be created in the image of God. Humanity points to our Creator. If you look at humanity, you will start to notice distinguishing features that reflect God. We are the image of God. And then he said, I'm creating humanity, mankind, in the image of God for a purpose. We read in verse 26 that God said, we're creating mankind in his image to rule over creation. And then in 28, he gives the instruction, you know, to go be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. And so all these pieces, this is God giving authority, inviting humanity to continue what he's already been doing, of creating, of bringing order. That is a part of what it means to be the image of God, is to continue what he had been doing, to co-rule with him. And these words, like rule and subdue, it's not kind of common language for us. And when it does come up, at least my gut reaction is it's not a positive thing. Somebody ruling actually feels, it leads me to think of like oppressive images, right? But when God invited humanity to rule over creation, this was a good thing because they were doing it under the rule of the perfect God. It was good. So we're creating the image of God. We're invited to partner with him to continue what he's doing. But I think there is something beautiful and mysterious and maybe difficult to understand. My hope is that the things that I've been thinking about, I can invite you into, because I think this is so important for us today as well. But the beautiful mystery of being created in the image of God is that not only is it individuals, like you, me, created in the image of God, it's humanity, it's mankind together that reflect the image of God. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 27 is a poem. It has three lines. So it starts off by saying, so God created mankind in his own image. We get that. Then it says, in the image of God, he created them. So it goes from he created mankind, yeah, in his image, to created them, this plural. And then the final sentence makes it clear why we need this middle one. Male and female, he created them. When God created mankind, right from the beginning, he created diversity. But it's this diversity that is unified. Part of the image of God, understanding the image of God, is that we are many, we are diverse, but we are unified. If we are to understand humanity as God designed it, humanity as the image of God, we need to understand ourselves in relationship with another who is different than us. Male and female are like the most foundational difference, right? There's lots of other differences that we see as we go through Scripture, but from the very beginning, it was diversity that was unified that reflects the image of God. I think this is difficult to understand because it's mysterious, but I also think we living in the West, we live in this individualistic culture, and so it may be difficult to understand how my humanity is not just understood in myself. My humanity is understood as I relate to, as I work with, as I co-rule with others who are different than me. And this theme continues when we move into chapter 2 of Genesis. We read the story of how God declares that everything is good, but then he looks at man and he says, it's not good that he is alone. And so he takes the side of the man and he creates the counterpart, right? He creates woman. And so it's the single being divided. So we have the one divided in diverse. And then we read in verse 24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Do you understand why this is mysterious? It's two, it's one, it's diversity, it's unifying. And if we would follow God's plan for humanity of multiplying, filling the earth, that's what it would be, right? Diversifying, multiplying, diversifying, and then uniting to obey God's direction, to join him in ruling over creation. This was God's beautiful design for humanity. And then we know what happened. Mankind chose to use its own authority to decide for themselves what was right and wrong. And the moment that they strayed from God's perfect rule, from God saying, no, this is what is good, there is brokenness. This relationship, this perfect unity between humans was broken. The unity between God and mankind was broken. And like hearing these stories of the lives that children and youth have, the pain, the brokenness in relationship, this is evidence of that. You look through the story of the Bible, you look through all of human history, and it's just brokenness, it's conflict, it's division, it's seeking power to have, you know, authority, power over others. This was not God's intended design, but this is what happened when we strayed away from God's perfect rule. So, Genesis 1. God created mankind, diverse, unified. He gave us instructions, perfect instructions to rule, to co-rule under his authority. Brokenness comes in, sin, we're divided. And then we're going to skip ahead, and we're going to open the book of Colossians, which is a letter that Paul wrote. He wrote a letter to churches. So the church has been established. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on heaven, things on earth, or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, did you recognize a familiar phrase in there? Right at the beginning, when it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. We have the image of God. But this time, that phrase isn't used to describe humanity. It's being used to describe Jesus, right? The one who was there in the beginning, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all life, the one who has authority over all things. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the complete, the full, the perfect image of God. Jesus, just himself, is the complete image of God. He doesn't need all humanity. In himself, he is the full, complete image of God. And it was God's delight, right? We read in verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And so if we want to know what God looks like, we look to Jesus. If we want to know his character, if we want to know his will, his purposes, we look to Jesus. And what I love is that when we look to Jesus, we see what it means to be perfectly human, but we also understand what the perfect humanity is. It was all in him. He was the perfect human and the perfect humanity. We understand what we are created to be when we look to Jesus. But then as we continue, we read in verse 18 that Jesus, the image of God, he is also the head of the body, the church. And this is when it's passages like this where I realize that God hasn't strayed from his original plan. He hasn't deviated from this original design, that it was always going to be humanity that reveals himself to creation. It is always going to be through humanity. He sent his son Jesus to take on the form of a human, to be the perfect human, to be the perfect humanity, but then it didn't end there. He invited us, weak human beings, to be a part of Christ's body. All the evil, all the death that came in because humanity decided to figure stuff out on our own, that didn't deter him. It is still his plan. What we read on the first page of the Bible, Genesis 1, it is still his plan to show all of creation his character through humanity. And Jesus, being the perfect human, the perfect image of God, he is our guide. Right? As we follow his example, as we follow his teachings, as we follow him as our model, we can then reflect the image of God. Right? That makes sense, yes? We can be the image of God because we have the perfect image of God that we can reflect. He is restoring us to that perfect creation, that perfect plan that God had in the beginning. But right built in to this, what I love about Paul's image of the body that he repeats through many of his letters is that right in it, we see that it is one unified being that has many diverse parts. It's like the simplest picture of one thing that needs all these very diverse parts in order to work together. And do you see that theme? This is Genesis chapter 1, the image of God, the mystery of unity and diversity. The body of Christ, his church, is God restoring his original plan. But the only way that this works is that Jesus is the head of his church. The only way it works is all of his body acknowledging that he is Lord. All of his body finding life through him. When we read in Colossians, we see that it is him who holds all things together, right? It is he who reconciled all things to himself through the shedding of his blood. I think we can look at the church and get frustrated. And if it's not frustrated, at least we can be saddened because there's still so much brokenness and there's so much division in the church. And it may be easier to go, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm just going to go love Jesus, love others on my own. But when we look at the story of the Bible, I don't think that's an option. When we look at God's design, that's just not an option. We were created for that community, that unified community that reflects the image of God. But if we try to find unity in any other thing than Jesus, we are going to be so disappointed. We are going to be so frustrated. And it's not just because of sin. We're going to be disappointed and frustrated because it is God's design that we be diverse, that we not be unified in other things, but that we be unified in that we have been created by God in his image, that we be unified in Jesus, the head of the church. And we're going to take communion in just a little bit. And as I was thinking about this practice of coming to the Lord's table, of proclaiming Christ's death until he comes, I was thinking about it in a slightly different way this week because I think we can see this as a unifying practice. There are so many things that we can disagree on. But when we come together as a community, as a body, and we take the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming those things that we all are unified in. We're going to be talking over the next few weeks about kind of like the hows and the whats of like what is the church called to be, what is the church called to do, but I think we need to start off with this conviction that the only way that we can truly reflect the image of God is by being the unified diverse. The only way that we can truly be the church is if we can be all the members working together. The only way that we can bring the kingdom of God down from heaven to earth is by living as a unified community. This is God restoring creation. So today, we are going to take communion. We are going to declare together what we believe to be true. Communion was always supposed to be done in community. This is not an individual practice. But we are going to remember that Jesus came as a baby, came and took on human form and lived among us. He experienced all that we experienced. He came as the perfect image of God. And then he willingly went to the cross. He willingly took on all the evil, all the brokenness, all the sin that was caused by humanity, choosing for ourselves what is right and wrong, all the consequences of that. He willingly let his body be broken and his blood be shed so that we all could experience this resurrection life, so that we could experience restored relationship with our God, restored relationship with one another. And so as we take these elements today, I want us to remember to recognize all that Jesus did for us, for us as a community. He is what unifies us. He is the only thing that can unify us. And as we anticipate looking through scripture, studying what we are to be as a church, let's always come back to this. We are diverse. We are need to be different. And yet we are unified because of Christ's body and because of Christ's blood. So I'm just going to give us a moment to prepare our hearts, to maybe consider the ways that we have been moving away from what is central, what is important, what is to unify us. Maybe in the ways that we have been putting on others' expectations, assumptions, when no, we are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be diverse. So yeah, let's just take a couple moments, prepare our hearts, and then together we are going to take these elements and declare those things that are true and so central. Of eating bread together, of drinking juice or wine together in remembrance of Jesus. This practice has been repeated since Jesus first did it with his disciples over 2,000 years ago. It has been repeated in every expression of the church, in every style of worship, for every generation, through times of peace, through times of war. And it's not the practice that unites us, but it is through this practice that we are united with all of humanity. It is through this practice that we realize that God, through Jesus, is restoring his purpose for humanity through us, the church. And so today, as we take this, we remember Jesus' words when he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take it together. Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. I thank you for the gift of his life, that we are able to know exactly what you are like. That we are to know, we can know your heart. We can know your character. We can know your plans. Because of Jesus. I thank you that even though it is because of mankind's decision to go our own way, to determine good and evil for ourselves, that caused this brokenness, you, from the very beginning, had a plan to step in and restore us, restore a relationship with you, restore a relationship with one another. Yeah, I thank you that your design for humanity is good. That even in the mystery of it, we can trust you with it. I thank you that you have given us everything we need to live unified, to come as diverse people, but be a part of the same body, of the same family, to be part of being your image here on earth. And so God, as we consider what you have called the church to, the things that we need to be, the things that we need to do, God, I pray that this truth will be the foundation. That we are a body, that to do what you have called us to to do, to be what you have called us to be, we need to be working with one another, with our diversity. But in all of it, find our life in you, Jesus, the head of this body, your church. Yeah, I thank you for these powerful truths, and I just pray that it will sink down into our minds, into our hearts, that we will fully comprehend just the greatness of your plan for us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing Jesus Messiah. Because he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all. Love so amazing. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward at this time, too. We're going to take up the offering. Sing, what a beautiful name, what a wonderful name, what a powerful name. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealing you on Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a death could not hold you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you raised to life again. 'Cause you have no rival. You have Yeah, God, we just praise you. We stand in awe of your wonderful plan, humbled that you would want or desire to include us. We thank you for sending Jesus so that we can look to him and see you. We can see your perfect image, unmarred by sin or brokenness. God, would you help us to see him clearly? Jesus, we want to see the image of the invisible God so that we as a whole, as a community, can reflect you well for the glory of your name. So we thank you for Jesus, for his wonderful, his powerful name, for his humility on the cross. Yeah, we thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning. If you are new, we would love to connect with you, or if you've just got something that you want to share with us, there are connect cards in the seat in front of you. If you would love to pray with someone, we'll have people available at the front. We would love to do that. And just as we leave, I want to leave with this benediction that's also from Colossians, but from Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17, and it says this: always be thankful. Let the words of Christ, in all their richness, live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all while giving thanks through him to God the Father. And may the blessing of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit strengthen and encourage you as you go out from here to live lives of gratitude and service. Amen. We'll go in peace, go in thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time.